From WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, North Carolina, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Brunswick County and Wilmington Business Development now have a formal agreement outlining opportunities for cooperation on the economic development front. The Board of Directors of the Southeastern Partnership, another regional economic development entity that is, like WBD, a public-private partnership, has approved requests by three counties to become part of their organization's geography and marketing. Craven, Lenore, and Moore counties bring the number to 18 of counties marketed by the Southeastern Partnership, which is based in Elizabethtown. That's in Bladen County. Progress on recommendations from the Garner Report, Pathways to Prosperity, was recently the subject of a joint meeting of New Hanover County and City of Wilmington officials. Promoting the region as a cohesive group rather than a separate collection of counties was one of the recommendations from that report. Today, we're going to hear about the efforts going on in the Tri-County area. We're also going to take a step back and look at how the philosophy behind an approach to economic development has changed over the decades. Joining us today from the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, is regional economist in the Swain Center and associate professor of economics in the Cameron School of Business, Adam T. Jones. Professor Jones, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you for having me.
We're also very glad to have with us today the Director of Economic Development and Planning for Brunswick County, Mike Hargett. Welcome to the program.
Thanks. Nice to be here again today.
And we'd like you to be part of this conversation. If you have a question about regional economic development, you can call us on this Wednesday at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. Adam Jones, to give us a framework for this discussion, can you tell us, first of all, how the regional economy is doing in comparison with the national picture?
Sure. Our assessment is that the regional economy is doing pretty well, and we expect it to continue to do well and outperform the national economy. So the region's performance is a little bit masked by the statistics. The unemployment rate has come down over the last year, but I don't think that fully represents how well we've done. If we look instead at the number of jobs created, we're up about 4% or so over last year, which is a pretty good improvement. So that suggests that we're doing better than the unemployment rate might suggest. And we expect to see this good performance continue into the future. So I think we'll outperform the national economy. We'll do well, not great, but continue to do well.
What are the sectors that are doing so well locally?
Well, we're seeing construction pick back up again, and we expect another good year of tourism in the region. So as household wealth has improved, that allows consumers to have a little bit more disposable income, and we're hoping they'll come and leave some of that here in southeastern North Carolina.
And what are the sectors that local leaders could be looking at and working on?
Well, we still struggle in sort of a broad class of sectors that you might call the traded sector. So these are firms that are in the region and sell their goods outside of the region. Manufacturing is one of the subsectors within that group that people often point to, but I think we can be a little broader than that when we start to think about businesses such as software development firms, et cetera, that live, work, and create here and sell outside the region. Those are the firms that we really want to sort of focus our attention on. They tend to pay the best, they bring revenues into the region, and they support other jobs around the region as well.
Mike Hargett, tell us about this recent formalized agreement between Brunswick County and Wilmington Business Development. What is it and what does it mean?
The best way to describe it is it reduces to writing what has been in practice for an ongoing period. We've always enjoyed an excellent relationship with Wilmington Business Development. And Scott Satterfield and I felt like that a public document would be a symbolic way to let the community be aware of the type of relationship that we enjoy.
And Scott Satterfield is the executive director of Wilmington Business Development.
That's correct. Thank you.
And so what does it mean in terms of, will you be sharing resources in terms of staff or money or...
there are no commitments within the agreement that obligate each other in terms of resources. It really speaks more to the cooperative efforts that are underway. We meet on a regular basis to compare information about potential leads, and we work in the Tri-County area, as you described, which we refer to as the micro region. We do that in cooperation with North Carolina Southeast that you mentioned at the top of the program. In fact, we just recently had a meeting between the three groups to discuss marketing efforts in the upcoming year. So those are the kinds of activities where we jointly make decisions about how we're going to focus our marketing efforts and recruitment efforts. We also compare notes on very operational kinds of issues on an ongoing basis. So there's a wide range of areas that we share information and cooperate.
Sometimes it seems hard to keep track of all of the different economic development efforts that are going on regionally. What is the difference in practice between WBD, Wilmington Business Development, and the Southeastern Partnership? I mean, the Southeastern Partnership is larger. They now cover 18 counties, but those include the counties covered by Wilmington Business Development, which is New Hanover, Pender, and Brunswick. So who's doing what, and why are there so many?
Well, you're exactly right. It can be confusing because there's others even beyond those. And it becomes an alphabet soup of different groups that are involved in economic development in our region. We enjoy a special relationship with North Carolina Southeast. When I say we, our Brunswick County and Wilmington Business Development, again, in micro region efforts. But as a larger part, Southeast in turn enjoys a special relationship with the Economic Development Partnership of North Carolina, which is a statewide agency connected with commerce. So we're in a favored position in that because of North Carolina Southeast's favored position, we are in the top tier for receiving RFIs through, which is requests for information through Economic Development Partnership, and then our joint efforts at the micro region with Wilmington Business all enhance our efforts.
Adam Jones of UNCW, let's take a few steps back for a moment. We talk a lot about economic development in local news. As I mentioned in the introduction, so many local municipalities have this as the top of their agenda. For those of us who haven't been so tuned into this conversation, can you help with, let's take the average family, say, in Brunswick or New Hanover County. Why would they care about this issue? What does it mean for them in a tangible sense?
That's a great question with a really long answer. So let me try and give you the short version of it. So if you think of economic development as a little bit like standing in the shower, you always have some water draining out of the bottom. And those are jobs that leave the area as founders retire, companies move, or ideas are replaced by new ideas. So we always need some more water coming in. We need new jobs coming in, et cetera. And when we start to think about economic development, we want to make sure that just like in your shower, you have a nice coverage over everything so nobody's left out in the wind. We want to make sure that everybody in the community has a good opportunity. And economic development is really about creating opportunities for
you're
the folks.
You're talking about job opportunities.
Employment opportunities, entrepreneurial opportunities, sometimes even cultural opportunities. This really comes down to quality of life and all the different aspects of that. And because we have a diverse region in terms of preferences and education levels and abilities and interests, we need to make sure that we have a nice coverage of different employment opportunities. And that's really what economic development is about, is trying to bring in as many of those opportunities as possible and provide the residents the opportunity to achieve what they're looking to achieve.
We'll get more specific in a minute, but just from a philosophical or theoretical point of view, we've talked about the importance of marketing this region as a larger organism as an entity and not breaking it down between county lines. But Brunswick County, for instance, is a very different animal from, say, New Hanover County. Brunswick County is much more rural. New Hanover County is more urban. There are all kinds of differences in terms of demographics. Should that be taken into account when we're developing economic policy?
Absolutely. You're going to have different policies for different areas, and to a large extent, that matches very well with firms that may be looking at the area. So some firms want to be located in a downtown location versus others may want to be in a more rural location, depending on what you do. So if you're a law office, you want to be right in the middle of everything. But if you're a manufacturer that needs a lot of real estate, you want to be sort of on the perimeter where real estate's a little bit cheaper, but you can still access the labor force. So you're going to end up with different policies for the different areas and a different distribution of the activity that matches to a large extent where the people live.
Mike Hargett of Brunswick County, do you see that playing out in your relationship with WBD? You mentioned the requests for information that you get from companies and site selectors. Because the counties are so different, does that help sort of distribute those RFIs, or how does it work?
Well, I think Adam's description is certainly accurate, that Brunswick County, for example, has an abundance of land available, and we have two sites that are 1,000 acres plus each. The New Hanover County area has a lot of other features and assets that come into play when smaller or different types of industries or services want to locate. So we work cooperatively to meet those needs in much the fashion that Adam described.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. We're exploring economic development in the Tri-County region with the director of Brunswick County's Economic Development and Planning Department, Mike Hargett, and UNCW's regional economist of the Swain Center, Adam T. Jones. If you have a question for our guests, you can give us a call on this Wednesday, 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. You're listening to Coastline. Listening to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. We're talking today about the evolving approach to economic development, what it really means to approach it from a regional perspective as compared to stopping at county lines. With us for today's discussion, Mike Hargett. He's the Director of Economic Development and Planning for Brunswick County. And Adam T. Jones. He's a regional economist for the Swain Center and Associate Professor of Economics at the Cameron School of Business at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington. And they're taking your questions on this Wednesday. You can call us at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. We have an email from George. He's asking about how does combining Myrtle Beach with Brunswick County figure in this? And of course, he's referring to the Metropolitan Statistical Area. The Star News did a very nice story on this earlier in the week, just taking a look at the fact, I think, that Myrtle Beach is the second fastest growing metropolitan statistical area in the nation. And Brunswick County, of course, is an element of that. But I think part of that story was pointing out the fact that Brunswick County is not the only reason for that. Myrtle Beach is a pretty explosive place right now. Mike Hargett, do you wish that you could move Brunswick County back into the Wilmington MSA? There was a lot of uproar over that.
Well, as we discussed very briefly during the break, in my time in Wilmington, the connection between the two counties was well established with the commuting patterns and so forth. We were frankly surprised at that decision by OMB. You know, as a practical matter, we have continued to market ourselves with the Wilmington region as a part of the micro region. When it's appropriate, of course, we're now able to connect with the Myrtle Beach MSA. You know, I would say that certainly the growth that you mentioned that's attributed to Myrtle Beach, with Brunswick County being the fastest growing county in the state for the years 2010 through 2015. That's certainly an indication of how our growth has probably favorably influenced that ranking by Myrtle Beach MSA.
When you hear these new numbers, though, does it make you think, well, you know, you could do some things with Myrtle Beach and maybe make more headway?
Well, we certainly do cooperate with the Grand Strand, and we actually are at other levels, including transportation planning, are very connected with the Myrtle Beach area in a very formal way. And we enjoy those relationships. At the same time, historically, the connection has really been with Wilmington and Brunswick County. And we see that. All you have to do is drive over to Causeway every morning, and you can see the physical evidence of the connection between the two localities. We understand that there are criteria that the OMB uses to make these decisions. We just would question those.
I think another element of that, our local delegation, David Rouser, Congressman David Rouser, who is from Johnston County, but of course represents the 7th Congressional District, and Senator Richard Burr from North Carolina have both said we need to move Brunswick County back into the Wilmington metropolitan statistical area. It's not natural that it's now been tossed over a state line. Adam Jones, do you agree with that?
Well, I'm sort of two minds on this. So from a personal level, I very much would like for Brunswick County to be back in the Wilmington MSA. I'd like to see the growth headlines accurately reflecting the growth in this area and Wilmington showing up in the growth headlines as opposed to Myrtle. From a professional standpoint, I hope that we stick to the criteria that OMB used consistently across the entire country. Because while we know what's happening with Brunswick County here, if you try and compare MSAs from one region to another and the MSA definitions are being controlled by lobbying efforts and boots on the ground, now the statistics aren't consistent and that muddies the picture from a statistical standpoint. So the nerdy part of me says, well, at least we'll stick to our rules on it.
Okay, so I'm going to invite the nerdy part to come out even more. Just explain to us, because to many people, this was a big surprise. Even to Mike Hargett, who is a local economic development official, this was a surprise. What are the criteria for that? You're saying this is a statistical science. This is not a random, well, it seems like it fits more over here. How did the Office of Management and Budget make that decision?
So Mike may be able to actually give you a better explanation of that than me, but it has a lot to do with where people live and what the commuting patterns look like at the census block level. So they really drill down into some of the data that even we can't access. It's not necessarily publicly available. And they're doing their best to figure out which region should a county be put into. And from a statistical standpoint versus a boots on the ground, they may be different.
So, Mike, is it true there are more people commuting from Brunswick County to the Myrtle Beach area than, say, Wilmington?
Well, again, I would dispute that. I mean, I think the patterns that I'm familiar with for decades would indicate quite the opposite. But Adam is correct. I mean, there are other dimensions to that decision, and I think the one that we fell victim to was the one that has to do with urban-level population. And as I understand it, it came down to a headcount of 29 persons, which I think is a very minuscule basis to make such a large decision on. And I think that's been the effort of the or the focus of the efforts to make that change, and unsuccessfully so far, but we're pleased to hear that there are our representatives are continuing to make that challenge.
And David Rouser said recently that's something that he is still focused on, getting Brunswick County back into the Wilmington MSA.
And we've also, as you indicated, we've had communication with Senator Burr's office in the same manner.
And so last question about this issue, Adam Jones. But if they were successful in doing that, then it would mean that lobbying actually influenced statistics.
Well, so in economics, we make a lot of assumptions, so we'll just assume that that doesn't happen anywhere else.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking about regional economic development in southeastern North Carolina with Adam T. Jones. He is a regional economist and associate professor of economics at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington. And Mike Hargett, he's the director of economic development and planning for Brunswick County. If you have a question, you can reach us on this Wednesday at 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org. Ed from Ogden, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thank you. My question has to do with a recent economic development summit that was held in Raleigh probably less than a month ago now. It really focused on the coast of North Carolina, so it was, a statewide approach to economic development, not so much a regional one, but what they were studying seemed to have some impact on what we're considering. And primarily it seemed that they were, I can't remember the name of the summit right now, but I know they were talking about environmentally friendly industries such as oysters, which are going to require, water quality. So my question is, how much of a factor is environmentally friendly industries in your plans for regional economic development? I'll take the answer off the call.
Okay, good question. Thanks so much, Ed. Mike Hargett, let's start with you. How much does the environmentally friendly element factor into your decisions to pursue or welcome someone to the county?
We would certainly welcome an environmentally friendly industry. I think any community would welcome that. Our approach towards development in Brunswick County is a balanced approach that enhances and sustains the quality of life while simultaneously promoting economic development. And we have been able to demonstrate that those two are not mutually exclusive, and in fact, one supports the other. The resources that are generated by economic development provide the means to enhance the quality of life. And so the principles and practices that we utilize in our unified development ordinance provide incentives for quality development that is exceptional design, which obviously includes environmental quality related best management practices, such as low impact development. And that goes all the way up through to our recruitment efforts. We would certainly welcome an industry. And we have had RFIs from industries that were very green and had very specific criteria with respect to how they would be built and the features that were available on the site and so forth. So those we would certainly give special attention to.
Is there any industry or business that is just so detrimental from an environmental impact point of view that Brunswick County would just say, no, we don't want that here?
Our ordinance has a special use provision to deal with the potentially objectionable uses. And so that would come into play should an industry like that have an interest in our county. I think that process is certainly well suited to help make those decisions with public input and certainly decisions by our policymakers. On the one hand, some of those industries have had to comply with the more modern requirements dealing with air quality and certainly water quality. Even areas such as stormwater runoff have become very sophisticated. So we would have to take a look at each and every one of those industries in making that determination.
Adam Jones of UNCW, environmentally friendly factors have been such a front and center topic of discussion for New Hanover County. They recently modified the special use permit, and it was sort of a historic compromise deal between what we would call the environmental contingent and the business contingent. But how do you see that playing out in New Hanover County? Has New Hanover County been shooting itself in the foot by not being more open, or do you think that's the right approach?
Well, so this is a really interesting question to think about, because to use unintentionally a bad pun, we live in a very gray world. So if you were to try and have perfect, pristine environment, no pollution, that means we all need to start holding our breath right now. But at the same time, we also don't want an infinite amount of pollution. So there's somewhere in the spectrum that is sort of the compromise, socially acceptable level. And this tends to swing back and forth a little bit. I took a lot away from the discussion about the special use permit and the engagement of the community in that discussion as folks getting involved and helping them make this collective decision about what we want for our community. And to the extent that we miss the mark one way or the other as a community, we can always come back and readdress it. These things aren't fixed. If we overly tighten our regulations and economic growth slows because we don't target enough industries or allow enough in, we can loosen those. And if we go a little too far, well, maybe we come back and tighten them back up again. So I think this is a conversation that we'll continue to have for the foreseeable future.
Because one of the arguments, and I think this came from somebody with UNCW who takes a look at the externalities and, you know, economic and environmental that occur when you're talking about heavier industry and the impact that that has on the local economy. And I think his point was, if you do bring in heavy industry that is happens to be a big polluter, you're actually hurting yourself economically because the people who can locate anywhere, you know, the tech sector folks, those are the people that I'm thinking about, won't come here. Is there something to that argument? I mean, does it really have to be an all-of-the-above approach? Does it have to be balanced? Or can a community say and make it sustainable, no, we're only taking green industry?
I don't think it can be an approach of anything that wants to come here, we're going to welcome with open arms, because you're absolutely right. One of the greatest things about southeastern North Carolina is our quality of life here, and we don't want to destroy that. That being said, we don't have a monopoly on nice places to live either. There are lots of other communities, so we need to remain in the game. From my perspective, I think the most important piece is that when we decide what we want this to look like, that we clearly articulate what the rules are, what types of industries we're going to allow in, such that businesses can determine whether or not this is a good location for them.
You're listening to Coastline. It's an exploration of evolving approaches to regional economic development. With us to answer your questions on this Wednesday, Adam T. Jones, regional economist and associate professor at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, and Mike Hargett, director of economic development and planning for Brunswick County. You can reach us on this Wednesday at 910-343-1138. You can email us at coastline@whqr.org. Charlotte from Brunswick County, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you very much, Rachel. My question is for Mike Hargett. My husband and I, my husband actually grew up in Brunswick County, and we have been back in Brunswick County for almost 22 years now. I recently started a small egg business, and so I'm very curious as to what part of the economic development plan for Brunswick County includes agribusiness, agritourism, and how I can be involved, you know, in economic development decisions regarding that for the county.
Mike Hargett of Brunswick County, thank you so much for that question, Charlotte.
We're always so happy to see these kinds of activities in Brunswick County. One of the characteristics that we think is one of our assets is the rural character of it that is not available in a lot of communities, and we have a nice mixture of both rural and urban. We highlight the fact that we have a growing agritourism and ecotourism industry within our community. We've made specific revisions to our Unified Development Ordinance to not only encourage but promote and allow, make it easier for those kinds of businesses to be a part of our community. So we're really pleased to hear about these types of businesses when they occur, and continue to make refinements to our ordinance, working with our Cooperative Extension Service and others to fine-tune the ordinance to better enable and facilitate this kind of activity in the community.
So Charlotte doesn't have to worry that rural-based businesses, agribusiness, is going to get phased out in the interest of recruiting big industry.
There has been a conscious effort to encourage that type of activity in our community, and the commissioners have been supportive in adopting the revisions that we've proposed that would enhance the ability for folks to open these kinds of businesses. And again, we're very pleased to see that kind of interest increase, because we do believe it contributes very significantly to the quality of life.
And Mike Hargett, thank you so much for that call, Charlotte. You have talked about the range of opportunities that you deal with as Director of Economic Development. When we are looking at some of those smaller businesses, smaller opportunities, what are other aspects of that that you see come across your desk that you actually help?
Our focus, of course, is on the larger employers, similar to what Adam described, that are paid above average wage. We, at the same time, are very interested in supporting our existing industry expand and helping them flourish and retain their operations within our county. And then beyond that, we work very closely with our local partners in the form of the municipalities that have economic development groups and, of course, our chambers of commerce and others who deal directly with smaller businesses. The merger of economic development planning certainly put us in a better position to assist smaller businesses in getting through the regulatory process and so forth. So we provide a wide range of technical and other support to both small business and even residential.
You're listening to Coastline. When we come back from this break, it'll be your last chance to tell us what you think or ask a question about economic development in southeastern North Carolina. You can call us on this Wednesday at 910-343-1138 or email us today at coastline@whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. You're listening to Coastline. You're listening to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. We're talking today with Adam T. Jones, a regional economist from the Swain Center for Business, an associate professor of economics at the Cameron School of Business at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington. We also have Mike Hargett, who is Brunswick County's Director of Economic Development and Planning. And we're talking about the regional approach to economic development, how that approach is changing, and what the principles are that drive those development efforts. If you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, you can call us on this Wednesday at 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org. UNCW's Adam Jones, talk to us about economic development theory when you're looking at, say, a tri-county region. From the regional perspective, we just heard from Charlotte, who asked about whether agribusiness and a small and a rural county like Brunswick County was going to be kept rural, and what how that plays into the larger picture.
Let me try and make 2 points here. The first one being that we need to think of the tri-county area as what we might call a functional region. So those of us that live here, and especially those who are involved in policymaking, focus very much on political boundaries. But to an outsider, this area is all the same. They often call it just the Wilmington area. Firms looking to move to the area see a large mass of workers. They don't necessarily note that some of them live in the unincorporated part of the county, or some of them live at Wrightsville Beach, or some of them live in Southport. They just see a group of workers and talent that they can access. So because this is really a functional region, that puts a large emphasis on trying to plan across areas and all of us work together within the region. So to follow up on Charlotte's point about or question about different types of business, I think it's worth stepping back and looking a little bit at how economic development has changed over the decades. So we have this tendency to think of economic development as chasing manufacturers and trying to incent and pay big, heavy industry to move the town. And that was very much the case in, say, the 1980s. And then we sort of evolved from that into the next phase, which was realizing that it's very expensive to chase footloose industries and try and be the highest bidder to bring them to town and move towards sort of a homegrown approach with an emphasis on small business and retaining the industries you have and trying to grow organically. And then the latest wave is really starting to look at both of those combined together and look at an area's an ecosystem and think about how all these different parts play together with each other, trying to identify where the holes are in a local economy and how can we fill those holes and support the businesses we have here. And some of those efforts require going out and chasing the larger industries. So this third wave of, I guess, sort of incentives or planning is really a combination of the first two rolled into a more comprehensive approach towards economic development.
Can you paint maybe a fictional picture for us with the theory that you just explained? You know, what exactly a whole might look like, what kind of business or what kind of industry in the face of what is already there?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you have a company that's making, I don't know, plastic toys for children, and they're looking for a plastic supplier to supply the pellets they use in their process or something, and they're buying those pellets from outside the region, maybe that's a good industry to go after to try and bring in to help support some of the industries that are already here. So we sort of look at what's missing and how can we better support the industries that are here, which shows where the market is for firms that we might want to try and attract.
Going back to the question of, we have a couple of questions about heavy industry. Roy asks, this is for Mike Hargett, when new businesses look at coming here, are Hugo New and Titan part of the discussion?
Those particular industries have not been part of the discussion in Brunswick County. We received a 52 requests for information over the past 12 months, and it was a wide variety of industries and businesses, large and small. Those two, I can say we're not part of that mix.
And for those folks who weren't, I'm thinking Hugo New was about 10 years ago. Do I have that right? And can you remind people what kind of manufacturer they were? That was very much like Titan Cement, which announced plans to set up shop in New Hanover County in 2008. They announced, I think it was last year, that the market had changed. They were no longer going to do that. But it was Titan Cement that launched the public discussion on the modification of the special use permit. Hugo New was a very similar story in terms of marshaling the public. There was massive public opposition to the notion that this company was going to come here. What did they do?
That's over in a different jurisdiction, and frankly, I was in the private sector personally at that time, so I'm not specifically familiar with it. I did work in Wilmington for a number of years, and certainly collaborated with New Hanover County when I was there. The size of New Hanover County, I think, is certainly a key component to the public's position in those kinds of decisions. Brunswick County is 800 square miles versus 125 square miles for New Hanover, with a much denser population in New Hanover. So I think those two characteristics, both the size and the density of population, certainly result in a different reaction on, or response on the part of the citizens in both areas. As we mentioned earlier, Brunswick County, of course, is going to review any potential industry in the same eyes, both at a staff level and the community would be involved, and I'm sure the decision makers would have those same thoughts and concerns. But I do think those two different characteristics are part of the reason why we have different situations in the two communities.
And on the other side of that coin, Pete writes, the simple fact is that a large number of residents in New Hanover and Brunswick County have neither the education nor the wardrobe to work in white-collar, environmentally friendly office jobs. Is there really an ongoing effort to attract industrial jobs that will provide employment to those who need it most? Or will every heavy industry receive the welcome that Titan received? Adam Jones. Is that just a political issue that will always remain?
I think that probably is a political issue that will be around for a long time as we continue to discuss this. And I think that's a great point, that we need to have a good mix of opportunities for all of our residents in the community, not just those that are politically involved and are working in white-collar jobs. That being said, we've seen growth in some of these industries that are more environmentally friendly than maybe a cement plant would have been. So Acme Smoked Fish, for example, up in the Pender Commerce Park, is a great example of a company that's providing employment here in town that's not the I forget how the emailer referred to it, but the white-collar jobs. It provides another option for residents in the community.
Joshua writes, I'm wondering what the major historical events are that have gotten the pay scales generally so out of touch from the rest of the country. And Adam Jones, I think that's an economist's question. There is kind of, from that point of view, a strange economy here. Is that the fact that the tourism industry is such a large sector here, or why?
Yeah, that's a great question that I'm not sure I have the magic answer to, but there's several factors that play into it. Part of it, if we're just looking at an average wage or a median household income, is driven by the types of jobs we have in the community. And part of it is driven by the fact that this is such a nice place to live. Many of us are – wait, I hope Dean Burris isn't listening, but many of us are willing to work for a little bit less to live in such a good community. So there's sort of a live-at-the-beach discount, if you will. And lots of people are willing to trade out some wages for some improvements in leisure.
How much impact has HB2 had on the region's economy? Is this primarily a factor for games, concerts, you know, one-time events, or has this actually, you know, we heard about PayPal, which was in the western part of the state. They nixed their expansion there. But has this affected southeastern North Carolina?
So Mike can probably speak to the RFIs that he's received and how that number has changed. We're working on analyzing it right now. Unfortunately, there's a lag in a lot of the data. But some of the initial results suggest that, at least in terms of press releases and announcements in the state of North Carolina, that didn't slow down a whole lot following HB2, which is the argument that the McCrory administration made. But to put that in context, if you compare it to a neighboring state like Georgia, since HB2 was passed, Georgia's seen the number of announcements increase. So we sort of held steady and Georgia increased, which suggests that it very well did hurt growth in North Carolina.
So you're studying that now.
We're working on it right now. Yeah.
Mike Hargett, just from an anecdotal point of view, is that something that ever came up in conversations?
As I mentioned earlier, we've had a very consistent stream of RFIs. It's very difficult to ascertain whether that number was lower than it would have been or not. I can only say that it has been very consistent. And I want to just make a sort of a follow-up to the other question about recruitment. Certainly our efforts include, I mean, among those 52 RFIs we received and responded to, 19 of those were for larger industries. So Brunswick County certainly has an aggressive effort to recruit larger employers.
So you keep track of the number of RFIs mm-hmm. that you receive?
Yes.
Because the Star News also did a report about the leaders, officials from the convention center and tourism officials in Wilmington reporting, giving their annual report to Wilmington City Council and talking about we had this number of leads and this many actually came to fruition and this many did not, and we're going to work on that. How do you, what kind of measuring stick do you use? How do you report how well you're doing?
Regrettably, a lot of the decisions for particularly a larger location decision are beyond the county's control. And we do all that we can in the county, Brunswick County, and the Board of Commissioners, and in the past have demonstrated their support and willingness to do what was necessary to attract a larger employer. You know, the actions by others, including some very aggressive neighboring states, those kinds of considerations are beyond the county's control. So sometimes those elements are enter into it and affect the decision. But aside from that, I think the most important thing is that the community have a shared vision about where it wants to be. And Brunswick County certainly enjoys that, from the Board of Commissioners having a commitment to promote economic development through the county manager, the leadership team that she's put in place, and all the supportive players which is a myriad of different groups. I think Brunswick County is in a very favorable position in that regard.
Very briefly, this is probably for you, Adam Jones. What impact do large events like the Azalea Festival or Southport's 4th of July Festival, which is, by the way, the official North Carolina 4th of July celebration, and full disclosure, my husband is president of the board this year, so that said. But how much economic impact does this really have on an area? Is this a big boon, or is it just a giant party for locals?
Yes. So the Azalea Festival is an important festival here in town, if for no other reason than it occurs every year, so that vendors in town and businesses in town can plan around it and factor it into their business plans and their income streams. One-off events, such as a conference that comes here once and leaves, is nice, but it's not as beneficial as these recurring ones. So the way I think about it is a one-off conference that comes here is like a year-end bonus. The firms that get business from that can bonus their employees, make improvements, and go spend some money on some fun stuff. But it's the annual recurring events that are the increase in your income. It's like getting a raise at work, and that provides income for these businesses that they can plan on. So from that perspective, the Azalea Festival, solid 4th of July fireworks shows and festivals and whatnot that go with it are very important to the community, that we keep them going.
So then when we look at the PGA tournament coming to the Eagle Point golf course, that's a one-off. That's not going to be an annual event. Mike Hargett, how is Brunswick County in any position to use that as a springboard?
We've certainly participated in the planning and support the efforts to promote that event and maximize the opportunity to get attention to our area. And we are glad that it's happening, and we're glad to be a part of that event.
That's this edition of Coastline. Mike Hargett, Adam Jones, thank you both so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Coastline's executive producer is Cleve Callison. Producer is Isabel Shepherd. Technical director is Ken Campbell. If you missed part of this episode, look for it at whqr.org or get the podcast on iTunes. Tune in for the rebroadcast of this episode Sunday afternoon at 3. Join us for Coastline Live Wednesdays and Thursdays at noon here on HQR News 91.3 FM. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.